Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I want to thank Tefillah Financial Group, as always, for sponsoring the afternoon kollel. And this week's learning, it's not on the cover page, but has been sponsored by Jonathan and Nancy Charm in memory of his mother, Joanne Charm Goldabas Avram Yitzchak, whose neshama should have an aliyah. We are still studying the topic of Mikzas Hayom Kikulo, that part of the day is like the whole day, has the status of the whole day. Just to remind you and review, we saw Mikzas Hayom Kikulo applied in the world of Avelos on the seventh day. The part of the seventh day is the completion of Shiva. Part of the 30th day is the completion of Shloshim. We saw it applied to Nazir, that the end of a term of Nazirus is the morning of the last day of the pledged term. We did not apply it to Batei Arichoma, nor to Kachim, bless you, because Tosfos pointed out that in those two cases, the word Shana was used. You can't say Mikzas Hayom when the word Shana is used. When it talks about a year, it means that complete and full unit of time, as opposed to a day where part of the day might constitute the day. A fifth area was Kohanim. Halacha is a Kohen is not allowed to walk into the Beis HaMikdash unkept. Unkept, we learn from Nazir. If a Nazir can't get a haircut 30 days, then a Kohen has to get a haircut every 30 days. What if on the 30th day he's in the Mikdash without a haircut? Do you say that the Isser doesn't kick in, the violation doesn't kick in till the 31st day, the completion of the 30 days? Or do you say, Mikzas Hayom Kikulo, the morning of the 30th day, already he is now liable for not getting a haircut? The Minchas Chinuch thinks that you apply Mikzas Hayom Kikulo not only Lekula, but Lechumra, not only to be lenient, and not only to shorten the period of mourning or of Nazirus, but even applies to shorten the amount of time before which the Kohen becomes liable for not getting a haircut. That was area number five. Area number six, the Otzar Gonim wondered, why don't we say Mikzas Hayom Kikulo for Tisha B'Av? And the Otzar Gonim gave two answers. I'm very, very quickly reviewing what we've said before to catch us up for those who aren't here. Two answers. Number one, he said, is that Tisha B'Av, true, it has a component of mourning. On the one hand, it's a Yom Avelos. And the Yom Avelos component should be shortened by Mikzas Hayom Kikulo. Should wake up Tisha B'Av morning and say you fasted a short period of time and shine, now you're good, it's Ice Tisha B'Av. However, Tisha B'Av also has a second component. In addition to being a Yom Avelos, it's a Yom Tanis. It's also a fast day. And you wouldn't apply Mikzas Hayom to fast day because the whole essence of a fast day is to dedicate, to allocate that day of time in introspection and self-reflection. And it doesn't make sense to say, I've shortened it. The purpose, the day has been dedicated for a reason, for a theme, for a goal, and you should try to accomplish it. That's reason number one. Reason number two, the Gonim said, is because really Tisha B'Av should be 2 days, the 9th of Av and the 10th of Av. The majority of the building burned on the 10th day. Why, in fact, do we paskin that we establish on the 9th day? Because we follow the beginning of the Puranus, or the beginning of the destruction, instead of when the majority or the most of the destruction took place. Why do we do that? Because really we're not mourning the bricks and mortar. We're not mourning the loss of the building. We're mourning the cause, the catalyst of what created the destruction. So which day corresponds with the cause? When it was lit on fire, when it began. So we therefore mourn on the 9th. But really, in theory, you should mourn on the 9th and 10th. So it doesn't make sense to say, Mikzas Hayom Kikulo, says the Gaonim, when really you should mourn or fast the 9th and 10th. You're not going to say, only do one part of the 9th, when really you should have even been doing the 10th. That was how the Gaonim answered. In Bikve Hatzon, Rav Shechter quotes Rav Yosef Engel, who quotes the Rama Mipano, who says, why do we not say Mikzas Hayom Kikulo for areas 7 and 8 of Halacha, Shabbos and Yontif? Wake up Shabbos morning and forget half Shabbos, keep a tiny fraction of Shabbos, 5%, 10% of Shabbos. Be done, Shabbos morning, kept a little bit of Shabbos, make Kiddush, and call it a day. Why on Yontif don't we say Mikzas Hayom Kikulo? So Rav Yosef Engel answers for both, or quotes, I'm sorry, the Rama Mipano, he says for both, that we only apply Mikzas Hayom Kikulo to something that we're trying to minimize, but something that we wish to maximize, we would not. So Avelos, Cheirim, Tumma, which we're seeking, thank you for your sponsorship. It's not on the cover, but we announced it. Which we're seeking to, Avelos Cheirim and Tumma, which we're seeking to minimize, we would apply Mikzas Hayom Kikulo. Shabbos, which we're trying to maximize, what's the evidence that we want to maximize Shabbos and Yontif? What do I mean maximize? I mean, we don't want to diminish or shorten it. Quite the opposite. What do we want to do for Shabbos and Yontif? Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yontif. Exactly what that halacha means is that it's in only in Yom Kippur, other areas. Tosefa Shabbos, Tosefas Yantif. So you're not going to apply mitzvah kakulo when you have a din of Tosefas. It makes no sense. It's paradoxical. So the Rama Mipana says, when do you use mitzvah yom kakulo? Only for something sad or somber, only for something you want to shorten. Rav Yosef Engel does not like that. Why did he not like that? Because of? Why didn't he like it? Because of? Nazir. Because of Nazir. Is Nazir good or bad? Should you want to minimize or maximize? Shorten or lengthen? So, Nazir is a machlokas, Parshas Nasa, from the Tanayim, Amoraim, Rishonim, Achronim. Everybody has the age-old debate. Is the Nazir a hero or a zero? Is he a hero or a villain? Is the Nazir Kadosh? On the one hand, he's called Kadosh. On the other hand, he's called a Chote. So which of the Nazir? Do we admire the Nazir? Or do we look down on the Nazir? What is our attitude towards the Nazir? What is our approach towards the Nazir? So, Rav Yosef Engel doesn't like the Rama Mipana because he says, why would you apply mitzvah kakulo to the Nazir if the Nazir is Kadosh? And really, we should want to maximize the term of Nazirus. Why would you say mitzvah kakulo? So Rav Yosef Engel rejects the Rama Mipana on those grounds. So when then do we say mitzvah kakulo? When do we not? We apply mitzvah kakulo to Avelis and to Nazir, to Cherem and to Tumah. We don't apply it to Shabbos and Yontif, or even Tisha B'Av. So what is the defining characteristic? When do we apply it? When do we not? Yes?
What about their Lag BaOmer? Lots of people ask. Lag BaOmer,
so Lag BaOmer is a... Lag BaOmer itself is not. The Omer is a din. But the Avelis that we superimpose on Lag BaOmer, we do apply Mitzvah Kekula. This is a big discussion. Ashkenazim, Sfarad, and the Mechaber Ramah. Is it on the night of Lag BaOmer? For Sfardim, they can't get a haircut till the next night. Even the Rama says you shouldn't get a haircut at night, only in the morning. But many reinterpret what that means, even at night. We're not even up to Purim yet, let alone Pesach, let alone Lag BaOmer. Again, this is all just review. I'm still just catching us up. So Rav Schechter quotes Rabbi Soloveitchik, and Rabbi Soloveitchik offered the following definition of when you say mitzvah yom kakulo, and it is a fantastic working definition. This is how we discussed it last week. And he said the following. Mitzvah yom kakulo, you apply. We have a count, and we have a calendar. So Avelis, is that a count or a calendar? Avelis is a count. Nobody gets a calendar from the funeral home that says in 6 years from now, so-and-so will sit Shiva from this date to this date. It's not a date that's fixed or set on the calendar. It's not calendaric. It's not a calendar day. It's a count. We use the days that happen to overlap with the calendar to count our days, but it's a function of a count. It's not a function of a calendar. That's true for Avelis. It's true for Zav and Zava. It's true for Nazir. It's true for other areas. But it's not true for Shabbos and Yontif. Shabbos and Yontif are days fixed on the calendar. I can tell you right now, thanks to Hillel HaZaken and thanks to MyZmanim.com and the combination of the two, I can tell you right now, in 300 years from now, when, what time, which day Sukkot will be, and what time Sukkot starts, what time candlelighting will be, that's a calendar. So the Rav differentiated between a calendar and a count. When something is fixed on the calendar, set on the calendar, established by the calendar, you can't apply mitzvah yom kakulo. But when it's a function of a count, then you can apply it. We said, what about Tisha B'Av? Now let's go back to Tisha B'Av. Is Tisha B'Av a count or a calendar? So on the one hand, it's a Yom Avelis, which sounds like a count. On the other hand, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you cried for nothing, I'll give you a right reason to cry. He established and set it as a day of crying, a Yom Abachil Doros. So that fixed it into the calendar. Because it became part of the calendar, you don't apply Mikzas Hayom Ke Kula. Pidgin HaBen is the 30th day. You do the mitzvah. Zrisa Makdim in the mitzvah. So you could do the mitzvahs first thing in the morning. Bris Milah is the 8th day. You don't say Mikzas Hayom Ke Kula. You say the whole day you could do the bris. From Nates till Shkia. What?
Pidgin HaBen 30 days. No,
but when is it going
to
happen?
I understand, but on when from the day that you're eligible to do the Pidgin HaBen, you can do it from the first thing in the morning. It's Rizim Makdim in the Mitzvahs. Okay, the next topic we discussed, and I want to get on to finishing this topic today, so I just want to complete the review. Yeah.
What about a bride and groom before their wedding? They're fasting. That's not a
kilandra. It's a minhag to fast. A bride and a groom fast on the day of their wedding. They're treating it as a Yom Kippur for them. Yom Kippur, you don't say mitzvah kikulo. The bride and groom, that's just a minhag. It's not a din. Now the chakira, the lumdus that we mentioned in mitzvah yom kikulo was the following, and it's worth reviewing this, partially because none of you remember, and also because it's worth reviewing. It's fantastic lumdus. So the kovat taharas of lachana vasarmin. Rav Moshe and Achuv and Igros Moshe, we saw both of them inside. I'll just remind it to you outside. Ask the following chakira. How does Miktas Yom Kikulo work? When I say part of the day is like a day, do I mean, therefore, that I've made that day into 2 days? So when I say on the seventh day of Avelus that the mourner sits for a few moments, we daven shacharis, or we just say Amokim Yenachem Eschem, and then the mourner gets up and has the rest of the day. What is the rest of that day? Is the day divided into 2 days? The first part of the seventh day was the seventh day of Avelus, and the rest of the day is a brand new day. He's completed Shiva. Shiva is done. Over. Oy Shiva. Done. Or do we say no? Really, Shiva lasts until the end of the seventh day. However, once he's done a niug, once the mourner has acted, has behaved, has displayed mourning, we project out as if you mourn that whole last day. Mourn a little bit in the morning, and you're done with your nihuge avelus. Your practice of mourning is over. True, you're not done with your count. It's not over till the end of the day. But the practice is over in the morning. So again, do we divide the day into 2 days? I'm done with Shiva. In the afternoon, I'm no longer sitting Shiva. Or, really, Shiva applies, you have the status of Shiva till the end of the seventh day, it's just the niyug is done in the morning, we project as if you did the niyug the whole day. Meaning, am I obligated to do Avelus in the afternoon of the seventh day? It's just that when I did it in the morning, it counts like I did it the whole day? Or I'm not even obligated to do it in the afternoon? Once I did it in the morning, there is no obligation. Two ways of viewing it. I'm obligated in Yavelis in the afternoon, but when I did it in the morning, it's as if I did it the whole day. Or I wasn't even obligated in the afternoon. Once I did it in the morning, done, finished, it's over. You understand the two tzadim, the two sides of this chakira? Yes? If I test you on it? Okay. So I'll give you two nafkaminas, I'll give you three nafkaminas. What? Okay, but so what? Who says the two go together? I'll give you three nafkaminas. Two of them come from the Gemara, one of them from the Rambam. The two from the Gemara, we're not going to see it inside again. We saw it last time a little bit. One is in the area of a person who has an emission, a gonorrhea, like emission for a man, or a ziva, a sort of emission for a woman, where if you see 3 days, then you have to count 7 clean days. And only then are you done with your count. Harav Shemesh, when the sun goes down, and so on and so forth. Miktas Hayom Kekulo, we apply to the seventh day. So if you see, or take a Nazir. What if something happens, or the Gemara Nazir is dealing with the Zav. Haro Zav B'Shvi Shalo. What's the halacha if you see something the afternoon of the seventh day? Do you say, now you've annulled the count of everything that came before because you were still in the period in the count of the 7 days? Or do you say that the morning of the seventh day, you completed the previous count, and now when you see something, it starts a new count of having seen something new? It'll come down to how you view the afternoon of the seventh day. If the afternoon of the seventh day is really, day 7 has 7a and 7b, there's 2 days in the seventh day. So if it's really in 7b, it's a brand new count. But if no, there's only one seventh day. In the morning, you thought you were done having to observe, but you remain still vulnerable that if you saw, it undermined retroactively the whole count that came before. So that's the nafkamina in Zava. I'll tell you the nafkamina in Avelus. The Gemara has this too. The Gemara has this machlokas too. What if the seventh day, the day you get up from Shiva, is Erev? Yontif. Yontif cancels Shiva if you're in the middle of Shiva, and Yontif cancels Shloshim if you're in the middle of Shloshim. When does Yontif cancel Shloshim? If the Shloshim is not Shiva, right? Because if it's already canceling Shiva, it's not going to cancel Shloshim also. It cancels Shloshim when you're already done with Shiva. So what happens on the seventh day of your Avelus is Erev Yontif? Does Yontif cancel Shloshim? If you say the afternoon, you're still in Shiva. You just did the Nihug in the morning. It counted like the whole day. So it can't cancel Shloshim because you haven't started really keeping Shloshim. But if you say in the morning, you were done. Finish. Finito. Done. Now the rest of the day is the first day of Shloshim. Then Yontif will cancel Shloshim. Nafkamina number two. Nafkamina number three, the Rambam. We saw sources 13 and 14. The Rambam Hilchos Avil says, how do you apply Mitzvah Yom Kikulo, source 13, 7th parak of Hilchos Avil? Kevin Shinog Avelo Sha Achas Kilunog Kol Yom Kulo. The Rambam formulates it as, if you observe a little shtickle Shiva on the seventh morning, Ki'ilu, we view it as if you observed the Nihuge Shiva the whole seventh day. Now go to Hilchos Bias HaMikdash, source 14. And the Rambam says, Ha'avel inu mishalech karbonos of kol Shiva. And Avel doesn't send sacrifices on his behalf during Shiva. Aye, what happened to Mikdash Yom Kikulo? What happened to Mikdash Yom Kikulo? So how does the Rambam understand? Why don't you say, what do you mean? Once the seventh day came, and the Avel observed a little bit of the Shiva on the seventh day, he can send the korban that afternoon. Why don't we say that? How does the Rambam understand? The Rambam clearly understands, you're still Shiva. So why, what does Mikdash Yom Kikulo mean? The Rambam said it explicitly, Beferish. Kevin Shinog Avela Shachas Ki Ilu No Kolayom Kulo. Really, you need to do Avelas the whole day, but when you observed a little in the morning, we project it as if you observed the whole day. So it's not that the day is divided in two. You were done in the first part of the day and it's a brand new day the rest of the day. If that were the case, the Rambam would have said you could bring Korbanos in the afternoon. You can't bring Korbanos in the afternoon because the Rambam understands that really you're not done until the end of that day. The only thing you're done with, the only thing Mikdash Yom Kikulo can help you be done with is Nihuge Avelos.
So the
Nihuge.
According to the Rambam, that Shabbos morning, that's
your... Oh, we're going to get to it. We'll get to it. I know where you're going. I know where you're going. I'm there with you. We're going to get to it together in a second. Everyone have Rabbi Brand's new Haggadah? Tremendous. Arba Miyodea. Fantastic. We're going to do something, no? Did Rabbi Blumenthal speak to you? We're going to do a book launch, a Haggadah launch. We're going to do something. You may not know about it, but we're going to do something. Okay. You don't know about it, but you're going to be giving a shiur about Arba Miyodea. Okay. So this brings us up to new. This brings us up to the new topic. Good. What's the new topic? Source 17. Let's see the Netziv in the Merome Sada. The Netziv takes this a little bit further. Page 4, source number 17, the Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, the Rosh Hashiva Volozhin. He has a sefer on, Netziv wrote many svarim. He wrote a commentary on the Shiltos of Rav Haigon, and he wrote a commentary on Parsha, on Magdavar, and he wrote Chuvos, and he wrote a commentary on Shas, Merom Sada, many, many books. Anyone know the famous story of the Netziv and these books? It's a great story that when he was a child, he was an underachiever. And he was supposed to be going to sleep one night when he overheard his parents saying, we're going to take him out of the cheder, take him out of the yeshiva. If he's not achieving, if he's not succeeding in learning anyway, we need him in the business. We need him to bring an income for the family. So we're done. We're done providing for him. So he goes to sleep that night, and he has a dream. And in his dream, he sees a bookcase. And in the bookcase are all these svarim that we just saw. Oh, okay. Shkoyach. In his dream, he sees a bookcase of all these svarim that we just said. And in the dream, the Ribbono Shel Olam says to him, you're destined to author these svarim, these books. And he wakes up and he tells his parents, give me one more try. And he applies himself and he becomes the Netziv, extraordinary Talmud Chacham, Rosh Yeshiva, and published, prolific author, all these incredible svarim. I want to add, thank you, Rabbi Kranzler, Rabbi Moshe Kranzler, also sponsoring today in memory of Ilan ben Aaron Zev. So your side is tonight. Neshama Shadam Aliyah, Shkoyach. So the Netziv says the following. Kasav Rabbi Elazar Mitzvah Sayam Kekulo. Rabbi Eliezer holds Mitzvah Sayam Kekulo. Perish Gamatana Kamas V'Leihachi. Hanekushe Ev Shalasos Tiglachas V'Avos Karbanos V'Kol Zesh L'Igil L'Kach Harizan Nazir Gomor. Kamala inyan avelas design yamim. The afagav the kaimalan mixes yam kikulo mikomakum kozman shlo amdu menachem me etzlo. Asr bechol davrisha aval asr besoch zayin. V'lo mahani mitzayom elash yamdu menachem in v'lifzo ka'avelus. Oh, says the Rami Sada weighing in just like the Rambam. What's his? If it's true, see if you say that the last day is divided in two, so automatically if you kept a little avelus, the last day is divided in two. Once you identified as an aval for a few moments in the morning, you're no longer an aval. The day is divided in two, and you've moved on. But if you say as the Rambam did, that you have to be noheg, you have to practice some avelus, so that we can take that practice of avelus and expand it out as if you did it the whole day, then we only will say mixtus ayom kikulo when you did nihuge avelus. But if you didn't do any nihuge avelus, if you did no display of mourning, if you had no practice of mourning, there's nothing for us to project or expand out as if you did the whole day. So Zogtan Tziv, Mixayam Kikulo, Kozman Shalom de Menachem Metzlo Asa B'chol Davar Shavu Asa B'soch Zayin. As long as the Menachemim are there, you're still an Avel. V'lo Mahani Mixayam Ela Shiyam de Menachem Livzok Avelus. When does it work that you end the Avelus on the seventh day? Only when? So this is Halacha L'maisa, right? In other words, everyone comes to Daven Shacharis that last day. And you don't want to say you're done with Shacharis. I'm done. Shine. Now, I'm taking a shower, you guys can hang out. The people who were there to be Menachem have to complete and fulfill and be done. They have to know, not be there. And v'lifso ka'avelus. Then the avelus is over. So this is very, very significant. Rav Schechter expands on this in Source 18, Bekve Atzon. He writes, Ayin Tosos Nida. I reference this as one of the nafkaminas in this chakira. Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim disagree. They debate. On the seventh day, the Zava, the one who's been counting since that emission, seventh day morning wakes up, doesn't see, goes to mikvah, now just needs the sun to set in order to be done, and now sees something in the afternoon of the seventh day. Does that retroactively nullify the count until then? Or do we say, no, once that morning came, that count was complete. Now it creates a new count. You have to say that there is a connection between these two things. So it says of Shechter, I heard from the Rav, zava tovelas midoraisa b'yom zayin. Really, a zava could go to the mikvah. Not only is mikvah hayom enough for her to be done counting, not only, but she could technically, even in theory, go to the mikvah, not have to wait till the night of the 8th. But davar zeh afino mikra, the mikvah hayom kikulo. And we learn this from a pasuk, that mikvah hayom kikulo from a pasuk, that even though she has to wait 7 days before going to mikvah, if in the 7th morning she's clean, we consider that having waited a full 7 days, to the extent that midaraisa, she could even go to mikvah on the 7th day. El depligi Rabbi Yosef Chacham begeder din zeh mikzayim kakulo. Daliba de Rabbi Yosef geder alachi, denechshav kilu chilaknu as hayom l'shnayim. V'sof hayom ha'achron shalam los, einenu mishtayach od alam los, ukilu yom acherhu. According to Rabbi Yossi, you divide that seventh day in two, and the second half of the day is an entirely new day, utterly disconnected, disassociated from the first part of the day. So if she, seventh morning was clean, went to the mikvah seventh morning, saw something the afternoon of the seventh day, it's a brand new day, and a new count. It'll only create a problem going forward. It does not undermine the previous count. According to the Rabbanan, you don't divide that seventh day in two, but rather, it's one complete day. You have to make it until the end of the day without blood. The only chiddush of mikvah hayom kikulo is that you don't have to do the niyug the whole day, but that day is still one day till the end of the day. So that's the machlokas. the two ways of understanding Miktsas Hayom Kikulo is that Miktsas Hayom Kikulo, part of the day is the whole day, that day is over, the rest of the day is a new day, or Miktsas Nihugei Avelos Kikulo, that observing a little bit makes it as if you did entirely. What's a big nafkamina about this? And he says, and this is exactly what, just finish off this piece by Rav Shechter, Uvahachi pligi abashol v'chacham noid kodin, Yom Shvi olu lakan lakan klomer im nifsik olagamre am los ta'avela shiva b'tchilas Yom Shvi. Can the seventh day, when it's Erev Yontif, count here and there? U'meila nechshav ki hischal b'niyu ga'avela shloshim b'shof hayom, u'kishenich mis Yontif nisbat l'gzer shloshim. Oh, t'neima d'lo nifsiko ham los b'shiva b'tchilas hayom, ela maspik niyu ga'avela shiva shenag b'tchilas hayom b'vad, im yirtzal hasha b'niyu ga'avela shiva b'meshach kol yom ha'shvi, ein hachanam shiya b'zeh kiyum. V'lo yadino k'mishir atzilino ga'avela shoshiva b'yom ha'shmini. Deim zeh kiyum klal. Right, this is, a fourth nafkamina. What if you don't want to get up in the morning of the seventh day? You want to honor your father, your mother, and you say, you know what? I'm going to sit Shiva till the end of the seventh day. What if somebody comes home, they began their Shiva elsewhere, and they only fly in the night before, and the local community didn't get a chance to pay a Shiva call, so they say, you know what? I know that I'm allowed to get up in the morning after davening, but not everybody had a chance to pay a Shiva call, so I'm going to sit Shiva the rest of the day anyway. Is that an option? That's a fourth nafkamina between these two views. If it's that the morning of the day is like the whole day, so you're sitting Shiva the afternoon of the seventh day is like sitting Shiva on the tenth day. There's no kiyum. You've not sat Shiva. All you did was sit in a low chair and have friends come over, but that's not a kiyum, a fulfillment of Shiva. But if you say the niyug is done and we make it as if you had the niyug the whole day, you're entitled to do the niyug the whole day if you want. We were willing to see the niyug in the morning as if you did the niyug the whole day, but if you want to do the niyug longer, you can. So may one volunteer Shiva the rest of the seventh day would be a fourth nafkamina. It would depend. Is the rest of the seventh day still the seventh day? Or is the rest of the seventh day 7B? Somewhere between the seventh day and the eighth day, but it's no longer the seventh day, so your Shiva would be nothing. So Shechter says, that's a fourth nafkamina. So Shech is pointing out these opinions go together. The attitude to the Zava on the seventh afternoon as she sees, does that Lemafreya retroactively annul the previous count or start a new count? Can you volunteer Shiva in the afternoon? Would the Yontif cancel Shloshim? Can the seventh day be both Shiva and Shloshim? All these are four nafkaminas in the two ways that we view. But this insight... That's a nafkamina. It depends how we view this. If we paskin that Miktsayom Kikulo means that once the seventh morning came, the whole seventh day is over. So if you're sitting Shiva in the afternoon, you might as well be sitting Shiva in the 20th day. So it's not the Yovel's option. It depends how we paskin. So we'll see very importantly right now, a psak. Yes?
Do you think an Ina about Tosif? In other words, the mice on one side, they say, you know, something, you sit 5 minutes in the morning and it's over.
Yeah, it could be. The Rambam uses language like that. The Rambam talks about a person who mourns and grieves excessively. And the Rambam actually calls that achzarius, it's cruelty, to grieve excessively. It comes from our belief, we're children of Hashem, and therefore losis godedu. We're all familiar that Allah of losis godedu means agudas agudas. We shouldn't have divergent practices in the same community, making it look k'shtei toros, like we have multiple toros. But the simple understanding of losis godedu means you can't carve your skin. A person shouldn't be so aggrieved, feel such loss, that they actually cut themselves. Why do people cut themselves? Rahman al-Islam, there are people who are in such anguish spiritually, emotionally, mentally, that they'd rather feel the physical pain gives them an outlet to the mental anguish. I learned from a therapist, we teach those children who are tempted to cut themselves, or adults, rather than cut themselves, they should hold ice cubes. It's very interesting. Why? The feeling of holding an ice cube is as if it's burning through your skin, but it's a lot obviously less dangerous than cutting oneself. So the person, in other words, we don't say, don't hurt yourself. We say, we'll give you an alternative that's less dangerous to feel like you're releasing pain. Persons in such pain, they need outlet. Such a person is mentally ill. There should be nothing that puts us in a position in life in so much pain that we need to physically harm ourselves to find that outlet. So the Torah says, losis kodadu. Why would you cut yourself? You say, my loved one, my spouse, my rahman al-Islam, a child, my parent, my sibling, I can't believe I've lost them forever and ever and ever. I'm in such pain, such anguish, I need to cut myself. Torah says, no. Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. You're going to be reunited with them. You know, it's like you go to the bus stop to send your kid off to camp. So their parents, you shed a tear. It's sad. 1 month, 6 weeks, 2 months, I'm going to be without my kid. I love my kid. Some parents are having a little party if I bring it in the corner. But some parents are crying. Could you imagine there's a parent who collapses in front of the bus, crying excessively, starts cutting his, you can't leave me. You look at the parent, you say, hi, they're going to be back in 6 weeks. They're coming back. So Kosh Baruch Hu says, Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. We don't believe that this world is all there is. We are Banim L'Hashem Elokeichem. We're children of Hashem. We believe in the afterlife. We're just, Hashem took that neshama, He sent it away to summer camp. There's going to be a Tchiyas HaMeisim. There's an Olam Haba. We're going to be reunited. We're going to be together again. So yes, we mourn, we grieve. But the Rambam and the Ramban writes it on Los Escodos, the Rambam writes it in Hilchos Avil, if you grieve excessively, you're denying your belief in the afterlife, in the world to come, in Tchiyas HaMeisim. If we believe there'll be a resurrection, we believe in an afterlife, we believe in the immortality of the soul, we believe that we're going to be reunited, if we believe all of that, we would never mourn or grieve excessively. We do it within reason. So how does that apply to on the seventh day? If you're entitled to get up in the morning and you're choosing to remain, I don't know, is that excessive, not excessive? It's a good question. So let's say it's very, very, what? That's the machlokas. That's the two ways of understanding. Says the Shulchan Aruch Yerodeh Simon Tov Beis Sif Hey, source 19, page 5. Everyone see it in the top left. Zok the Shulchan Aruch. Hashomei Shmua b'Shabbos or b'Regel, u'lemotzei Shabbos v'Regel naseis rechoka, eina noig eliyom echad, u'b'Shabbos v'Regel also b'dvarim shotzina. If you heard someone died on Shabbos or Yontif, so chalila, this happens if there's home hospice, a person passes away in the home, happens when someone calls, leaves a message on a machine, chalila, someone's loved one died. So a person hears on Shabbos or Yontif that their loved one expired. Motzei Shabbos or Yontif, Naseis Rechoka, and by the Motzei Shabbos or Yontif, now it's a Shmua Rechoka, which let's not get into the details in Hilchos Avelos. So, a Shmua Krova, if you heard within a certain amount of time, you still observe a full Shiva, even if it's long after the person was buried. If it's after a certain amount of time, it's called a Shmua Rechoka, then you only observe one day, it's symbolic. But so forget that, because this is the part that matters to us. B'Shabbos b'Regel, when you heard, Osur b'Dvarim Shotzina. Even though you don't practice Avelus on Shabbos and Yontif, but private acts of Avelus you do observe. Says the Shach the following. Source 20, Shabsak Koin Rappaport, the Shach. It's commentary in the Shulchan Aruch. Klomar, Shah Achas. Umikan pasak abach leishay b'motzei Shabbos shachas al arz v'lenog avelus afilu imchal yom hazayin ashvi b'Shabbos tzorach lenog avelus shachas b'motzei Shabbos tahacha afagav the dvarim shebetzinanoi b'Shabbos lo nifter b'ze v'tzorach lasos b'motzei Shabbos ma'isa shenikar bo mishem avelus. So the Bach says something wild. He says you can't count Shabbos of having observed Shiva if you don't do any form of Shiva on Shabbos. So in this very unusual circumstance, which I don't want to get caught up in the circumstance, Shmua Krova turns into a Shmua Rechoka, Motzei Shabbos, and Shabbos. Forget the technical details of that, but to extract or extrapolate from it, the Bach says, really you need to keep one day. Shabbos, in theory, was that one day. That's when you heard that the person died. But Shabbos, you can't observe Shiva because it's Shabbos. So therefore, it doesn't count as your day. You got to do something on Motzei Shabbos. Ulefiani is daiti log dami klal dahacha kevin shachacham mechayv luna gavelus karoi al kaponim shachachos v'yom haShabbos ein nogin avelus rag mitzvos imkain meolam nohag zed din avelus karoi afilu shachachas lachen chayv Motzei Shabbos leMotzei aregel luna gavelus shachachas. So he says you can't compare the two, because why? If all you have is one day of avelus and that one day coincides with Shabbos, which has no real avelus. So your one day, which is all you're keeping, can't count to Shabbos. That's when you have to do something motzei Shabbos. However, if you kept 7 days, this is the part that's relevant to us based on this halacha. What happens if the seventh day of Shiva falls on Shabbos? It happens all the time. Every time a funeral is on Sunday, the last day of Shiva is Shabbos. People say, I'm done with Shiva Friday afternoon. So no, you're not. That's 6 days. Shiva 7 days. You have to keep 7 days. You're not done Friday. Friday, you're done with the low chair and the non-leather shoes and the ripped shirt. Now you're done Friday. But Shiva 7 days, not six. And Shabbos doesn't cancel Shiva. So if there was a funeral on Sunday, it's not over on Friday. So what's the halacha? Tzarech linog dvarim shebitzina kol hayom kevin she'inu noig b'shabbos al dvarim shebitzina. Says the following. Shach is quoting the Bach, saying the following. When the seventh day is Shabbos, if the seventh day is Sunday through Friday, I do a little bit in the morning, I'm done. But if the seventh day of Shabbos, whatever parts of Shiva that you're still doing, what you do privately, Shabbos doesn't cancel Shiva. You don't have public practices of Shiva on Shabbos, but you do maintain private act. What are private acts of Shiva? No learning Torah, no Tashma Shamita. So, if seventh day of Avelus fell on Sunday through Friday, I do a little bit in the morning and then I'm done. But if the seventh day of Avelus falls on Shabbos, I have to do the private act of mourning all the way till the end of Shabbos. In other words, can you go to Rabbi Goldberg's Shabbos afternoon class on the seventh day, if the seventh day, if your Shiva is ending on Shabbos? Now you all say no. Before we had this whole shir, I would have said, of course you could go. You're done in the morning. Just like Sunday through Friday, the Avel has a Shiva minion, gets up from Shacharis and he's done. So too, Shabbos morning. By the time the Kiddush Club breaks out, he's already done with Avelus. I would have thought. It's an enormous chiddush of the Bach. What's the chiddush of the Bach predicated on? In order to apply Mitzvah Sayom Kikulo and say you're done, you have to have done something. So it seems like we're paskening the tzad that it's not that it's two separate days. It's really one whole day. But when you do a little bit in the morning, we view it as if you did the whole day. When are we willing to view it as if you did it the whole day? If what? You did a little bit in the morning. But if there was nothing to do in the morning because it was Shabbos, you couldn't publicly be doing anything, then we can't use Mitzvah Sayom Kikulo because there's nothing to expand out for the rest of the day. So now you're stuck having to observe the Dvarim Shebitzina for the entire afternoon. So are you allowed to? By the way, there's other nafkaminas. You're not supposed to sing Zmiros on Shabbos. There's other practices, Bitzina. An Avil during Shiva doesn't, Tashma Shamita, learn Torah, sing Zmiros. Doesn't count. So you hear? He didn't do it by. Shabbos was the last day, and you didn't duchen because, right? So the Bach, the Taz as well. Let's keep going. Taz source 21. Again, the same idea. In order to apply Mitzvah Sayom Kikulo, you need a niug to apply Mitzvah Sayom to. So when the only way that you're mourning is privately and passively, there's nothing to expand or project out as if you did it the whole day, then you in fact have the status of the whole day. You can't get out of it earlier. Source 22, what's the Shulchan Aruch say? Mishameis Avav Ima Barosh Chodesh Nisan, lo aminem b'chav tes ba'adar. Now the last thing is, do you apply Mitzvah Sayom Kikulo to Yud Beis Chodesh. We said Mitzvah Kekula applies to Shiva. It's part of the 7th day is like the whole 7th day. How that works, we just spent a long time elaborating. Shloshim, part of the 30th day, is like the whole 30th day. What about the year? So the Shulchan Aruch says, if a person's father or mother died on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you don't say on the 29th of Adar, the following 29th of Adar, part of the day is like the whole day of, well, now we're done with Yud Beis Chodesh. You have to get till the end of the 29th of Adar to complete the whole 12 months. We had a day to make it a full 12 months. Says the Taz, Hatam, B'toras Adam, Sham B'simen Rish Sadi Beis, or Trumas Hadeshin, T'chol Shetolei B'minyan Yomim, Amrina Mikzim B'achor and Kukulo, Masha'in Kein B'Avelis T'Tolei B'Yud Beis Chodesh, B'chol Duchti, Imkein, Im Tomer Mikzis Yom Kukulo, Lo Yitztarach Lezaba, Rak Mikzis B'chodesh Ha'achron, V'zeh V'aday Eino. Says the Taz, why don't we apply Mikzis Yom Kukulo to the 12th month, to Yud Beis Chodesh? Because Mikzis Yom is a din in a day. Shiva is 7 days. Shloshim is 30 days. Yud Beis Chodesh is 12 months, not 365 days. If you were to apply Mikzas something to something, you would say part of the 12th month is like the whole month. And we don't say that. So the Taz says you would not apply Mikzas Yom Kekulo to the end of the 12th month. So nafkamina, let's say the afternoon of the last day of the 12th month, the Avos invited to a wedding. Are they done in the morning? Do you say Mikzis Yom Kekulo? Shoin, got up in the morning, done. End of my Yud Beis Chodesh. I can go to the wedding. Live music, I can go to the concert. Or do you not say it? The Radvaz also has a tshuva about this, source 24. For David Ben Zimri, the Radvaz has a tshuva. And he says the following, page 6. Shalta mimeni yidid nafshi od yacha daiti beruven shemes ovev she'eno nechnas lasimcha besoch yud beis chodashim yamrini mikzis chodesh yud beis kekulo kedamrini gabi zayin yimei avelus v'gabi shloshim yom olo. Exactly our question, would you apply mikzis yom kekulo to the 12th month or not? And he says the following, skip right to the underline. V'ani l'ani az daiti omer ho ra'osa arishona tova min hashniya mashalo omru she Nundal Yomu Lakatsar Loshin Kamashul Lamala Shara Filu Vidaito Zal, Tsarak Losses Tamadover, Lamach Mirbir Bishodesh Yosmi Zayan Shloshim, Lakach Mashu Nachun Lahashos Midos Chachamim, Zayan Shloshim Yibis Chodesh Din Echadlem, Tiamachar Mitasa Kakula, Avamaya Sashkvar Hora Zokin, Amishivinesa Ari, Achramoso, Koshikin Lahakel. He wants to disagree with the calculation, and he says it's not true. When we said Mikzas, Kakula meant the last day of each unit of time. You can get away with part of the days like the whole day. Not only a din in the yom as opposed to the shana, but the Radvaz says, but what can I do? I was outvoted. I'm not willing to change the halacha. The last thing I have here is a essay. Yes.
Twelve months.
It's not a year. It's 12 months. So it'll be bizarre. There'll be a month break between the end of Yud Beis Chodesh and the Yahrzeit. There's a month break in between. Yeah. Well, what? Which case? Right. You're not doing anything on the 8th day. Shabbos is the 7th day.
But you're doing it after.
According to the other opinion, you're saying. What do you mean after Shabbos?
We have to sit after Shabbos.
You don't have to sit after Shabbos. You just have to do the Dvarim Shabbatzina all the way through the end of Shabbos. When he was saying you have to do something after Shabbos, he was talking about the different cases, the Shmur Krova, Shmur Rechoka. Not our case. Our case, when the 7th day ends on Shabbos, he would agree, you just have to do Dvar Shabbatzina till the end. Till the end. Okay, we're going to stop here, and we're going to start a new topic next week, but I provided for you, it's a beautiful essay in Shiurei Harav, Rav Soloveitchik on Mikzas Yom Kekulo, and he has another language. If you want to look on page 8 in particular, second paragraph on page 8, Nira lomer b'zeh shachachamim sovrim delo amin amitzitim kekula ela b'makum sheish matir u'mafkia l'dinei hamlaos. We're talking about a count as opposed to the calendar. What can end the count is a matir or mafkia. There has to be an act. There has to be something that removes you from the previous status. So whether it's the fact that you went to the mikvah and now you're done with the count, or someone said amakum yanachem ischem and now you're done with the count, you did something that removed the count.
Active, not passive.
There has to be, as opposed to Shabbos, again, this comes back to the question, there has to be a matir and mafkia. That's his lashon, in order to be able to say that it's over. Then he has on page 10, just pages 10, 11, and 12, the difference between Shiva and Shloshim with Mitzvah Kekulo. Sounds like we would apply it the same, but there is a difference between it. So look on page 11. Hanir b'zeh shechdei lomar Mitzvah Kekulo tzarech Mitzvah Niyug. L'fichach b'niyug avela Shloshim atolei ach v'rak be'avel. Shapi yeshlomer desagib Mitzvah Niyug avel b'shas anitzachama b'yom ha'achron. Ma she'enkem b'niyug avela Shiva ein tolei rak be'avel. Harigam tanchumi avela ma'av achelik b'niyug avelas. So how... the catalyst that makes Shiva end the morning of the seventh day has to include not just the Avel, but also the Menachemim. Whereas Shloshim, if we said that you need a Niyug to end, what's the Niyug that ends Shloshim? So that's what he says is the difference. Shloshim and Shiva, Mikdash Hayom, apply differently for each of them. Vizanicha Maidalo Amir Mikdash Kekulo B'Yom HaShvi Ad She'omdu HaMenachem Meitzel HaAvel. In other words, why can't the Avil say, by the time they come to Davin Shacharis at his house, he opens the door, he says, never mind, I got up from Shiva already. What do you mean you got up from Shiva already? Until Menachemim come to your house, you can't get up. He says, what do you mean? The minyan was called for 8:30, but the sun rose at 6:30. So for 2 hours, I sat already low. I decided. Sun rose at 6:30. At 6:32, I was done. So turn around, Davin at Shul, I don't need a minyan, I got up from Shiva. The halach is no. You don't say Mitzvah Kekulo until the Menachemim, until people pay a shiva call, until they say Hamakom, because you need that niyug. Harehem nechshavim kebailim b'miktas ala avelus. The Menachemim have a bailus. They are also part of the experience. Memela harehem ma'akvim ala avel milahavsik avelus ashidit nirushusam. So the Menachemim say to the avel, what do you mean you got up from shiva? You can't get up from shiva till we tell you it's okay to. We also have a part in this mitzvah. We're here to comfort and console you. And until we complete our mission on the seventh day in the morning, you're not in fact up from Shiva. And so on and so forth. So there is a difference between Shiva and Shloshim for how you say Mikdasim Kekulo. Shloshim, which is personal, independent, it's all about only the Avel. So the Avel can declare it's the end of Shloshim. But Shiva, which includes the Menachemim also have a bailus on the Shiva, so Mikdasim Kekulo would only allow him to get up when the Menachemim give permission as well. So we saw Mikdasim Kekulo is in fact a Shas topic. Nazir and Avel and Cherem and Tumah and Zav and Zava. It applies to many, many areas of halacha. We saw several hakiras in how it works and what's necessary with nafkaminas. And a very practical halacha and nice nafkamina is if a funeral is on a Sunday and the shiva ends on Shabbos, does the avil have to observe the private restrictions until the end of Shabbos as well?